Hey, welcome back everyone to the Golden Hour with me, Allie Goldberg. I have the same guest as last time,
Daniel.
He's back. He is subbing in for my roommate who is going to be this week's guest, but she got really sick because it is flu season. So it's all good though. We have Daniel back here and we're just going to talk about some random cool things today.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Definitely. Yeah.
Cool. I just wanted, so I watched this documentary last night. It kind of reminded me of you. I feel like you would really like it. It's about a photojournalist and his name is Chris Hondros.
I saw your post and I was going to ask you, but I just didn't do it.
No, that's why we're going to talk about it today.
All right.
So he is a war photo, or was, I mean, I haven't finished it all and they're talking about him in past tense. So I assume he's dead, sadly, but he was a photojournalist in conflicts. So he went to Libya, he went to Syria, he went to all those places. Specifically in 2011, that's where we saw a lot of the documentary take place. That was when the Arab Spring was occurring.
Right.
It was really intense, and I know you're a photographer.
Yeah.
So have you ever thought about conflict photography, or like have you ever been in a situation where you were in taking photos in a risky place?
You know what, the funny thing is that like a while ago, I think I was still in community college, there's this like recruiter, like either like the Navy or some other branch, but they're trying to recruit like photographers and videographers for like combat stuff, like how you're talking about. And I was like, you know what? That sounds kind of cool. And like, I was like, because at the time I was like, I don't know if college is for me. Like, am I going to do it? If not, I could just do this and I could still pursue like what I like, but in like the battlefield, I guess. And I talked to my mom. She was like, yeah, no, you're not doing that. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not going to do it. But it seems like I've seen like photo books on like that. And it's really interesting to me. Like, it's crazy to think that like, okay, like say you're out there in the middle of nowhere, like, they probably give you a gun, but still, like, you're not trained to do that. Like, your job is to capture like moments, like crazy moments that are happening on like in different parts of the world. And I have mad respect for them, because like obviously all of like military can die, but they're dying like taking photos, you know. And it's really crazy how, like how you just said, like they're talking about him in past tense, so he probably died.
Yeah, you know, like I think he died while doing it. Yeah. I'm not sure yet, though.
Yeah.
Still have 20 minutes left. But it just was super surreal because we see pictures like that all the time. And I never really put it into the perspective that there was legit a human being taking the photo. Yeah. And some of the photos were super powerful. There was one of his most famous ones, I think it was in Libya. There was a bridge and there were rebel fighters and then just regular fighters.
Right.
And he took a picture of a rebel fighter who just like threw a grenade and then was running back on the bridge with like an AK-47 in one hand, like super happy. And to just think that he was just there and surrounded by all this chaos, and he's not fighting for anything really. I mean, he's just there to document and showcase the American people what's really going on and really put a name to a face. And it was super interesting.
Yeah. It takes a lot of courage and guts, like props to everybody that does that. I mean, like later on in life, I might do it. Not now. I just like, I feel like it would be cool. Not cool, but like it would showcase things that I would have never known what happened in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
for me, like personally, like I like to photograph like subcultures and just like other people, like because I already know what subculture I'm in, but I like to like take photos of other people and like ask like what they like to do, like I don't know, just like for example, like a surfer, you know, like I have a bunch of friends that surf and I'm not within that subculture, so when I go out and take photos of them, like, and after they're out of their session, like it kind of brings me closer to them and like not relatable, but kind of in a way, you know, like it's a learning experience to shoot different photos. And that's for me personally, like I like to be versatile. Like I just don't like to take portraits, which a lot of people now, especially on Instagram, that has surfaced, like it's just a bunch of portraits and cool. Like that's really cool. But for me personally, like I would rather be known to be versatile and be not just be known for like, oh, he just takes photos of these beautiful women, you know, like he can take photos of street stuff. He could take photos like, what if I went to war? Like I took photos of that and then take photos of portraits and just a bunch of stuff. Like for me, photography, there's like, I don't like to be categorized as one, like one specific type of photographer.
Right. Yeah. Well, this would definitely resonate with you a lot then, because this is, have you heard of his work?
I haven't.
So there was a really interesting quote in the movie that described him pretty well. And it wasn't him, his photography didn't take pictures of the war. It took pictures of the relationships with the war. Yeah. So he did a lot of pictures of people, how it was affecting people, just civilians or school children. He would take these really moving photos about how the war really affects them. Because, I mean, in America over here, we don't have anything like that. We don't have anything to really compare to, unless we want to go there. It's just such a different world, and we're so disconnected from it. And photography really bridged the gap, and it was incredible.
Yeah, I'll definitely go ahead and watch that today, actually. I don't have anything to do later.
You should. It's on Netflix, guys. Everyone watch it if you're listening. And you know, there was a really, really I don't want to spoil it, but...
What?
Okay, so there's this one picture that he took, and from the story, it was super captivating. And I guess he was in a troop area with American soldiers.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was Syria, maybe? In Syria, you know, they have cars there, obviously.
Right.
But they don't drive towards American troops just because it looks threatening.
Right, yeah.
Right? So there was this one time where this car was driving towards the American troops, and they said they gave off 2 warning shots, and they didn't listen, so they had no idea who was in the car, if there was bombs or anything. Mm. So the general, or whatever he was titled, told everyone to shoot. And he shot off like 18 rounds, like heavy armed gun. Caliber. Yeah. So whatever that word is. Yeah. I don't know. And it turned out to be a family. Yeah. There was two parents, one was pregnant, the mom, and 4 kids. And one of them was 5 years old. And there was this really telling photograph that he took of the little girl. And she was crying. She had blood all over her face. And right next to her was an army boot. So you could tell the army had intervened with whatever tragedy that just happened. Mm-hmm. And then there was just darkness behind her. And it was crazy. I mean, the picture went viral because it really showed what it was like. I mean, the war was not only hurting whatever political agenda was going on, but it was also hurting civilians, mm-hmm. families, real people back home. And it really made us open up our eyes and see what was going on. And it kind of made you think. I mean, it made me think personally, who are we fighting for? You know, I don't know what's necessarily getting done, but is it all worth it at the end of the day?
That's a really good question to ask. And like going back to like the photo of the girl, and like obviously there's probably gore and all that stuff. I feel like a lot of people probably were in uproar because they like showcased the photo. Because a lot of people now are like too sensitive to stuff. But like, in reality, that's what's happening. Like, innocent people are dying. Like, why wouldn't you want people to know that this is happening? Yeah, like, it sucks. Like, there's the dead relatives are there, but like, somehow somebody has to showcase this. It's like exploiting what's going on.
Yeah, that kind of leads me to my next question is, so this happened in 2005, and they interviewed the girl again. I think this whole documentary is pretty new. So she was a lot older. I would say probably 20 or so now. And I mean, she obviously has a lot of anger still. And she was telling the interviewer that she would drink their blood and it still wouldn't be enough of the people that shot her parents and everything. And it kind of made me think, does she have more anger because she was slightly exploited? I mean, if you've ever been in a traumatic situation, do you want a camera in your face?
No.
It's really interesting to think about. How do you as a photographer think of the balance between exploitative and getting the message across?
I feel like there's it's like really blurred now. Because a lot of people, like I said, are way too sensitive now. Like I know a couple of people that went down to like Tijuana to photograph like immigrants crossing and stuff. And some people like don't like that, but like it has to be shown, you know, like I'm not just going to take photos of happy things. Well, you know, like for instance, Instagram, like nobody takes photos to like post sad stuff. You know what I mean? Like nobody takes a photo in regards to like, oh, I'm going to take this photo and it's like really sad and like dramatic and all this. Like people post stuff on the internet to be positive, especially on Instagram. Like when do you see somebody like reaching out because they're in a bad state and like they're, you don't, like you don't see that. So like all you see is positivity, and I feel like you have to balance it out. Like sometimes you have to throw some negative stuff down there, you know, like it's just a balance. You just can't, I mean, and another thing too that like I feel a lot of people have started documenting is like within street photography, like homeless people, you know, like, okay, like I feel like I've seen enough images of that. Like, why don't you just start helping them? You know what I mean? Like, say, like, you do take a photo of the guy, like, maybe, like, give him a dollar or two, or, like, you know, stand up, like, do something about it, not just photograph it.
Yeah.
You know?
See, the thing that they touch on a bit, too, is journalists, specifically photojournalists' role in intervening with this subject, especially in places like the Middle East, because it is so, it's such a sticky situation. As in, if you get helped by Americans and you're someone in the Middle East, are you like a traitor? Yeah, it's super, super sticky. That's what I took from the documentary, at least. And you'll see, I don't want to like spoil everything, but it was crazy. And it kind of made me think, it made me really reflect a lot just about my, and I'm sure yours too, just natural curiosity about so much. And I don't know what I want to do specifically yet, but just having the ability to go out there and, like, he said he would just call his boss up and be like, I'm going to go to Syria tomorrow. Yeah. Sound good? And just having that freedom and ability to go out there and having the natural curiosity, it's just made me really reflect and be like, should I do that? I mean, I can't do that because if my glasses come off my face, I will be dead, like, within a second. Oh my God, contacts are not good enough because I'm nearsightedness and farsighted, so I have to have reading glasses. Oh, there's a lot of issues with my eyes. I'm born with cataracts. Uh-huh. You get them when you're like 80 years old.
Right.
And I had to get them removed, obviously, but it's just never going to be perfect. And right. Everyone is saying, I was born in the wrong generation or whatever, but I was born in the right generation because if I was born like in the, I don't even know, way back when, I would be so blind. It would be miserable.
Yeah, be legally blind?
I think I would be. I think I am legally blind, honestly.
Yeah.
Who knows at this point, but it's pretty crazy, my eyes.
Yeah. I'm glad I still have good eyesight.
You have 20/20?
Probably.
What? There are not many people like, with 20/20 eyesight.
I'll be like on the freeway or something, and like my friends are like, oh, what's the exit? And I'm like, oh, it's like pretty far. And I'm like, oh, it's whatever, Manchester. They're like, you could read that? And I'm like, yeah, like you can't. They're like, no, I can't. And I'm like, oh. And I was like, oh, well, maybe. I haven't gotten tested.
You definitely do. You would know. If you didn't have 20/20, that should be a resume booster. I have 20/20 vision because definitely. That is rare these days. And as we get older, I see my friends who didn't have to have glasses have to get glasses now. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here, join the club. Welcome.
I had this funny like instance where I think I was in my backyard and I was like just rubbing my eye. And I like go to rub one eye and I'm like, playing around, I'm like holding, like, you know, the eyesight test when you like close one of your eyes.
Oh, do then, I? Yeah. I know them.
Yeah. Okay. So like, I was literally like, I rubbed one eye and I closed one and I looked out and I was fine. And then I was like, whatever, I'm just going to do the other eye. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just super bored. And I like go to rub my eye and I go to look with one of my eyes. I don't know if it was the left or right. And I can't see anything. What's wrong with me? Like, it was so blurred. Like, 10 feet away was really blurry.
Really?
And it just kept happening and I was like freaking out. And I went to go get tested and then they're like, oh no, you're good. Like, you're fine. And then the only thing that I have is like, what is it called? It's like really common in like everyone.
Astigmatism?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think that was
part of it. I have that too.
Yeah, I don't. think that was part of it.
Maybe you were just rubbing it really hard.
But it was really, it like freaked me out because like I kept doing it for like 30 minutes.
Wait, I can't imagine just being your roommate or something and walking in and seeing you just like, oh my God, like rubbing your eyes so much.
Thankfully, nobody was home, so nobody like experienced the weirdness. But yeah, it was really weird because like I said, when I opened both of my eyes, it wasn't blurry. It was just when I had one eye closed.
You're a medical mystery.
I am.
Wow.
I,
like, the human body is so weird.
It really is.
You never know.
It's like that one show, Untold Stories of the ER.
That cannot be real. That show is not real.
I love it, though.
Like, there's so many weird situations where I watch that show. I don't even think I can appropriately talk about it on this podcast, but go check it out if anyone's listening. And you will see that there are some absurd things that happen where it just makes you question the human race as a whole. What are we doing? And is everyone crazy?
Yeah, definitely.
So speaking about the wrong generation, you came to my party. I had a 70s disco party. I don't think I saw you for much time.
You remember?
No. I don't know if I want to remember too much, but did you have a good time?
Yes, I had a great time.
Did you like the setup?
Yeah, it was really cool. I like your donuts.
Thank you. Did you eat one?
Yeah, you handed me one.
I made everyone eat my donuts. Yeah. And then low-key, did I hand you a donut or a donut hole? The small one?
No, a donut. I don't think you had donut holes anymore.
Oh, thank God, because I undercooked them and I ate one. And while I was eating it, in my head, I was like, oh, shoot. Whoopsies.
Yeah, the donut was really good. I liked it.
I made them from scratch.
I know, I saw.
They were amazing. It was a hit. Yeah. Well, because I was thinking to myself, we need a homemade snack. Mm-hmm. Donuts, discos, it was hand in hand. It worked so well. Did you see the big dog that was at our party?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't see him?
I didn't.
Oh my God, he was huge.
I think I got there like...
You got there pretty late.
Yeah.
That was your first mistake because that's when I was... far gone.
Yeah, how was that? I mean, I guess I was supposed to know, but regardless.
No, like, I mean, I'm glad you had a good time. I'm just messing around. I was just so comfortable in my own home, and I had so many good people around me that it just got out of hand.
A big group of people get kicked out. That was kind of funny. Well, they never made it in.
Oh, because we were having random show up.
Yeah.
Was it the girl in the blue jumpsuit who's kicking them out?
I don't know. I just heard her being kind of loud, and I saw there's a lot of, like, it was like a group of like 10 guys. I was like, they're not even dressed up.
And I was like, I know. Oh. People that didn't dress up make me so upset. Yeah. It's almost as if you're more weird when you don't dress up for things.
Exactly.
There was...
like, the majority were dressed up.
Right? I was so shocked.
And then there was, like, a couple people that weren't. And I was like, bro, like, don't you feel weird not being...
Yeah. Like, it's funny because my two friends, they were the ones with the afros. One of them was a girl. She won the costume contest. I don't know if you noticed. But they came in with, like, fake afros and fake mustaches.
Yeah.
And I didn't bat an eyelash. But when someone came in with a flannel shirt and Vans... and just jeans, it was,
I had all out. I was going to wear, so I had my outfit before, I just had like some docks and like pants and just a regular t-shirt. And I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to fly.
Nope.
That's why I brought the extra set of clothes. So I got like these boots and just like my pants. But then like I got like this really weird, like funky button up.
Yeah, I remember that.
I just tucked it in. I was like, oh, you know what? I don't have a belt. Like, I don't have like an afro. I was like,
that's fine. Yeah. Honestly, men's 70s fashion, we were looking it up because me and my roommates were debating, is it going to be easier for the boys to dress up or the girls to dress up? And for guys, all you need is a colorful shirt, which is not in many men's wardrobes. So it just add it on and unbutton a little bit in pants and 70s and like maybe a gold necklace or something.
Yeah.
70s. So easy. It's so easy. It's unreal.
My dad gave me boots. They're not like cowboy. I don't know how to. In Spanish, they're called botines.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like. They're kind of. You know what Chelsea boots are?
Yeah.
But they're like from the. They're like literally 70s, 80s boots.
Whoa. That's pretty sick.
And I was like, dude, thanks. Like, they're like this really weird like brown maroon color.
That's so cool. You should wear them all the time.
No, I can't.
Oh, you're your dad's.
Well, I can. He has two pairs.
Oh, okay.
He gave me them. Like, he literally was like, here, you can have them.
And I
was
wow.
Like, they're really cool, but, like, after a while, they're kind of uncomfy. Mm,
yeah. Fair. Yeah. What we do for beauty, right?
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
I was honestly pretty scared that our house was going to be ramshacked by the end of the night.
Have you thrown something like that?
No, that was my first time throwing a real party. I mean, friends and I have had, like, Friendsgivings like and kickback. Yeah, not even kickbacks. Honestly, we just go to our guy friend's house or our other girlfriend's house.
Yeah.
Never really something that big.
Yeah.
So we were all pretty nervous. And it sounds like there were some random people coming in.
Yeah, definitely.
So, which is hilarious because we thought we were going to get the cops called on us.
Did you guys? I left like around one-ish. I mean, you probably don't.
I don't remember. Yeah.
No, but like there wasn't any cops is what I meant.
I know, but that's crazy because there was people in the front yard at one point.
There was a guy that was gone.
I know.
He was on your like little, what is it called?
Like a like patio kind of. Like
he was just like.
Yeah, that's why I think me and my roommate went out there and we were like, you gotta go. Yeah. You can't we go in the backyard, but you can't hang out here.
Yeah.
But it was so funny.
When we walked by, your neighbors like kind of on the other side of the street were like, oh, like they're having a party there. Like, let's go. Like jokingly. But I don't know who they were. I was like, oh.
See, the thing is when you have a party, you really should have a themed party because then you keep track of the people that come in.
Yeah.
Like, amazing idea.
But it's so hard because, like, there can be a specific theme that it's, like, really hard to pull off. You know what I mean? Like,
what?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, base it off a show or something. Like, a lot of people do.
Oh, I've never been to a party like that.
I've been to, like,
you got to make it broad.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Hmm. Well, anyways, I actually have been robbed before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. In my apartment at, I don't know if I can say it, but it was
is it around here?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Should I?
I don't think.
Let's play it safe. Yeah, it was an apartment on campus, not really on campus, but on campus.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was kind of my bad because me and my roommates did it. Am I victim blaming myself?
I don't know how that works.
Well, so me and my roommates, we didn't really lock our door all the time.
Right.
And that was our first mistake. Yes. But we were in a gated, like our apartment was gated.
Yeah.
So we went to bed one night. It was during finals week. And I woke up the next morning and my bedroom door was open. I shared a room with my roommate at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. Maybe she just came home late. I don't know.
Wait, so you weren't there?
I was there, but I woke up the next morning.
Like,
this is the morning.
No, I know. Like, whoever it was walked into your room.
Oh,
No, I'm asking you.
I will tell you. Okay, it's a whole story.
Okay.
Telling you how I found out everything.
Yeah.
So the door is open. I wake up. Weird. Anyways.
She's not there.
She is there.
She's there.
So that's why I assumed, okay, probably she just didn't close the door all the way. Weird. Yeah. So then I walk out into the living room and there's a skateboard. And now I'm thinking, this is even weirder. Like, no one rides skateboards in my apartment. And then I'm like, huh, this is getting really strange. And then my other roommate comes out and we're just kind of talking about all these weird events. And then she can't find her backpack.
Mm.
And then I'm over here like, oh, my God, I can't find my backpack. Wow. But there's the craziest part is that my friend's wallet was on the table and my friend's laptop was on the other table, too. So we're thinking maybe some drunk guy came over or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're going downstairs now, like outside of our apartment, to check out what the hell's going on. So then we find out her gone banana. Do you know what gone bananas are?
No.
They're a Trader Joe's chocolate-covered bananas.
Yeah.
Scattered everywhere. So now we're thinking, okay, maybe it's just some drunk guy, like, and he came into the wrong apartment. He had a skateboard. He left it.
Yeah.
And he took our food and left.
Right.
And we're still don't know where our backpacks are. So then we walk down the stairs and I see my backpack. All of its everything in it is scattered literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, okay, because my laptop was in there and it's finals week.
Yeah.
So my laptop is completely stolen. That's what I come to at this point.
Right.
And they were, however, they were nice enough to leave my notes and my favorite flannel that was in my backpack. So I'm like, okay, thank you, I guess. But so then I go into the office to report it, and it was just like this whole race of events, because then we found, after reporting it to the police, we find my other roommate's backpack.
Yeah.
And we're just over here like, okay, well, now I for sure know they stole my laptop. And I had a nice MacBook too.
Right.
And it's, again, it's during finals. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'd rather have that taken away like the beginning of the year.
Exactly. I mean, at this point, it's not only are you hurting me financially, but also now my grades are not going to be as well. Right. So that's cool. Thank you. I did this whole internal investigation because I did not trust the cops. And as I should have, they didn't do anything.
Right.
And I found out the owner of the skateboard, and he told me that, you know, someone stole his skateboard and everything. And I didn't know if I believed it at first, but then I kind of did. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, he sat in front of me in my class. So I don't think he realized it was me behind him, but I tried to like keep it cool at all times because he was asking to get his skateboard back. And I'm over here like, I can't give it to you back. I already gave it to the police.
Yeah.
And so then I did more investigating, and I found out that the person above me got robbed too that night, but they stole their credit cards and stuff like that. So I got robbed.
Isn't that really crazy? Insane. That's really crazy because where I'm from, like 40 minutes from here in San Marcos, it's like a suburban town, like not really much happens. And like in my neighborhood, I live on a private road, and like we leave our, not door like wide open, but like we leave it unlocked from time to time. Like we don't always do it. But like nothing like that has ever happened to us, which is, I don't know.
The spookiest part was that he definitely came into my room.
Exactly.
With my roommate. I mean, thank God she was there, and had a skateboard. What were you trying to use the skateboard for is the weirdest part. Like what if I woke up and he was just, you never know. And it was super spooky to even think about that. I'm glad that my laptop got stolen in a way, because if that's the worst thing that were to happen, totally fine.
Yeah.
I know. I am a little annoyed, though, because there was a laptop sitting right out there in the open.
Like, it should have been hers,
not mine. And he just took two backpacks and got lucky. Thank God he left the flannel.
Yeah,
it was like, my favorite flannel.
For me, I don't know, because I want to say I'm like a pretty light sleeper. Like if you open my door, I'll wake up.
Oh, I'm not me.
I'll wake up. And like at my house, like I own guns. So it like probably wouldn't have ended up.
Yeah. I mean, it probably would have ended worse for me if I woke up. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. I don't know. That's always like a scary thought to like people like really try to rob somebody, you know, like.
Yeah.
What the frick?
What the frick? Yeah. I just can't believe I fell asleep through that. I've fallen asleep through a lot of things in my life. I was in Costa Rica and I slept through the howling monkeys. So it kind of is concerning how deep of a sleeper I am. But the funny part is that when it if I know I have to be up at a certain time,
right.
I have anxiety about it and I have an internal alarm clock. So I will get up the hour before with a drop of the pin.
I'm the same way.
Right? But if it's any time before that, howling monkeys, getting robbed, I mean, come at me. Like, I'm a easy person to let sleep through things.
I literally can't, like, I can't sleep on planes. I can't sleep on, like, buses. Like, I can't.
Ugh, it's really, rocks me to sleep. I love sleeping on buses.
I can't sleep. This is weird. It's just, I don't know why. It's not even, like, a subconscious thing. I just don't.
Maybe you're aware. Maybe you're better than me, because there was times where I was about to fall, like when I was abroad this summer and I was about to fall asleep on some of the trains, I was a little nervous because kind of looked like a tourist. And yeah. I also didn't want to miss my stop, because then I really would not know what to do.
What's on your wrist?
What's up? Oh my God. I got kicked out of I got kicked out of a concert. So
On Tuesday.
This is a story.
Yeah.
And also, this kind of reminded me of the documentary that I watched, because it made me think, and I'll explain what happened afterwards, but I am a naturally curious person, and leading into the story that I will now tell you kind of proves it. So I went to Grizz. It's a, have you heard of him?
Yeah, he's like a DJ.
Yeah, he's a DJ, super positive person, writes a lot of songs about feeling good, not being stressed out, whatever. Super excited to go. Went with three of my best friends, and we got there really early. It's the doors opened at 7. We were there at like 6:45. Wow. And we drank a little before, and I even allowed to talk about this stuff?
I think so.
A little bit. I was fine. So I drank a little, and then I went to the bathroom because I wasn't not feeling well, but I wasn't feeling great. And right. I was like, easy fix. I'm just going to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
Pull trig,
yeah.
Go back down, enjoy the night. So I did that. And I was with my friend in the bathroom, and the bathroom attendant heard me, and she kicked me out, guns blazing.
Wait, she heard you what?
She heard me throw up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And she, I felt like she had handcuffs. She was like, get down, like, do not be here, that we do not have any of that nonsense over here. So, and I'm over here like, I'm fine. Like, what do you mean? She's walking me down the stairs. Her hand is on my lower and upper back. I'm not stumbling. Yeah. I was almost offended at this point. I was just, don't touch me. I'm fine. Yeah. So then I get kicked out, and I'm kind of mouthing off to the security guards at this point.
That would be too.
Because I was really excited to go, and he said that we got reports of you throwing up, and I was over here saying, well, what's your proof? You have no proof, so let me in, pretty much. And he was like, you must be the daughter of a cop or something. And I was like, no, I just know that you don't have any proof, and it's pretty messed up that just, like, I'm fine. You can breathalyze me. Of course I'll have some I'm 21.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to have alcohol. I'm not driving.
Right.
But I'm fine. You can clearly see that. And I think it was because I was mouthing off a little bit that it did happen. But then they made me talk to the paramedics. I guess it's a liability thing.
Yeah.
So I just decided to hang out with the paramedics all night. So I hung out with the paramedics all night.
Oh, I saw that. And then, saw that story. Wait, no. This is a different person. Sorry.
No, I don't know. I did take a picture with paramedics.
I don't know.
but so then I hung out with the paramedics all night. Also, the outside, I was at the observatory. I don't know if you've ever been there. Yeah. It's like a small outside area. So the guy that kicked me out is really mad at me for just hanging out around here because he can't legally kick me off the sidewalk. I'm just going to hang out. And so then I was talking with them, hanging out the whole time. And then I was hanging out with the police officer, and he didn't really have any thing that, like, authority to do anything either. So I was just literally becoming best friends with everyone but the security officer. And I saw men getting kicked out and re-entered in. And I saw one guy specifically who had a 21 plus wristband who got kicked out for being too drunk. And the security guard that kicked me out let him take off the 21 wristband and put on a regular wristband just so at least he could get readmittance in. He wouldn't be allowed to drink anymore, though.
Wow.
And I was like, you're a sexist to the guy.
That's pretty sexist.
And he was like, well, you're under different circumstances and stuff like that. And then I was asking, so then I was going to the box office to get the emails to complain because I'm like, I'm not going to pay for this ticket, especially when you have no proof of anything, all this nonsense. And meanwhile, I'm still at least hearing the concert a little bit. So, like, every time someone opened the door to get out, I was, like, going closer to the door, like, yeah, this is a great set. And then there became a point in time where I just didn't care anymore, and I was tired of being upset, and I wasn't going to get back in. So then I became friends with a security guard that kicked me out to see maybe if I just play nice, he'll let me back in. Even though my hopes were low, but you know what? I'm shooting my shot. Right. So he doesn't work. But then he ends up hitting on me, which is just weird in itself.
Yeah.
But then he also says next time I go to the observatory that I can cut the line and that I can get possibly free tickets. So I'm wondering if this return on investment works out but I also don't want to test it because he's definitely like 50 and also is definitely hitting on me at this point.
Lead him on. We cannot fumble the bag. We can't.
But also the funniest part is that I became such good friends with these like security guys that I was like, okay, can I just go get a beer or something? Like, would you do anything? Mr. Police Officer, would I get arrested? And he was like, I don't know anything. I don't know. So then I went and got a beer. And then I ended up placing the beer down and talking to some other people because the concert was just ending, so people were fluttering out.
Yeah.
And the police officer, he hands me my beer and goes, don't forget this. And I go, thank you, officer.
Wow.
So then I go into another. This is a whole, the concert's ended. And all of that happens. I meet up with my friends. My friends are shocked that they see me outside.
Right.
Because if it were them, I mean, the concert was 2 hours. I waited 2 hours outside for the concert to end.
Yeah.
And so then we go to another bar and I bring in my, I have a tall boy, like not even a singular beer.
Yeah. Tall boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and I go into a bar with a tall boy now.
What kind?
Just Bud Light.
Oh.
And so then I go into the bar, completely illegal. You can't bring a alcohol in, especially in a brown paper bag. Like at this point,
that's super sus.
Yeah. I felt like at this point I felt on top of the world. I mean, a police officer literally handed me a beer. So I was honestly try me at this point. So then one of the security people at the bars is like, you can't drink that. And I go, yeah, you're right. So then my dumb self chugs it right in front of him just because I wanted to get my money. I wanted to get my last sip. And then someone else sees him, and then I got kicked out of there. Wow. So everywhere on Tuesday night, I got kicked out of. And honestly, the last time, like the last time I got kicked out, I go, yeah, I deserved that. And I just walk out. So that was my Tuesday night.
So are you going to get kicked out tonight?
No,
okay.
Because I know I've learned from my mistakes,
right.
And I'm better from it.
All right. So everybody meet up at Mavericks at 10. See you there.
And watch me not get kicked out. Well, I guess it looks like we're kind of running out of time. So I'm probably just going to end it and just say our goodbyes.
Goodbye. My name is Daniel. You can follow me on Instagram at TRS. H-U-E, you could pronounce it however you want, but it's pronounced Dr. Shu.
So if you're listening to this, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. And hopefully next week, my roommate will feel better and I'll be interviewing her. She's a film major at SDSU. I'll be actually interviewing her and her boyfriend. They're both film majors at SDSU. So if you're interested in that, we're also going to be talking about The Joker and some pretty cool movies that they like. So it should be really fun. And thank you for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.